My name is Garland Robinson. You know, there's no single argument that challenges the faith of some more than the idea of suffering, human suffering. There's skepticism and doubt that all originates in the minds of people because they observe human suffering, and it's because of war or poverty, injustice, natural catastrophes, disease, or whatever. The skeptic's argument may be worded something like this: suffering is a fact, therefore God either does not care for man or is powerless to prevent suffering. They conclude that God must be loving and not powerful, or perhaps powerful and not loving. Many disbelieve because of a failure to understand how a loving God could allow people to suffer. Many who profess to be Christians often have doubts and charge God falsely when suffering confronts them. Remarks like, "Why is God doing this to me? What great sin have I done to deserve this?" You know, all of these comments are heard frequently by gospel preachers. I don't question the sincerity of such remarks, but I do believe they reveal a gross misunderstanding of the very nature of God, and certainly are false charges against God. Why do people suffer? Well, in the first place, God does not cause human suffering. The Bible nowhere pictures God as the one who causes or even desires that men suffer. On the contrary, God has always had man's ultimate good in mind in all of his dealings with him. The first three chapters of Genesis teach us that God had man's best interest in mind when he made all things in the creation of all things. He created man a superior being, gave him dominion over all living creatures, Genesis 1 and verse 26. He placed him in a garden that was a utopia. Now man could eat of the tree of life and live forever, according to Genesis 3 verse 22, but man made the deliberate choice to disobey God. God wanted man to serve him. Therefore, he created within man the ability to choose and to be a free moral agent. God said to man, "Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Genesis 2 and verse 16 and 17. Then comes the sad story of man's choice to disobey God and eat of the forbidden tree. Therefore, man had to suffer as a consequence of his own disobedience. Had he not eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have never known the pain and guilt brought about by his sinful deed. Adam and Eve that day died spiritually. That is, they were separated from God, and it was as a consequence of their own sin, Genesis 2 and verse 17. God placed sorrow and pain on both man and woman. He drove them out from the tree of life, and man began to die physically. Paul declares in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So, friend, all human suffering is a result of man's own disobedience and the entrance of sin into the world. Even after man fell in the garden, God still had man's best interest at heart. He made provision for man to be spiritually reunited with him. The long centuries of blood sacrifices to atone for man's sin is evidence of the love that God had for man. The ultimate proof of all that the love of God said was in the sending of his only begotten Son to die as the ultimate atoning sacrifice for mankind. Man could be reunited with God by believing in his Son, Mark 16, 16, repenting of his sins, Luke 13, 3, confessing faith in Christ, Acts 8, 37, and by being baptized into water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. The beautiful description of heaven is evidence that God does not desire that man suffer. The streets of gold and gates of pearl describe its beauty. The quality of life tells us that no kind of suffering is found in heaven, where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. neither shall there be any more pain, for all these former things are passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Now, does that sound like a mean, unloving God? Well, certainly not. We suggest that sometimes God may allow suffering, or that He may use suffering to discipline us, but God does not cause suffering, nor does He desire that we suffer. Suffering entered the world as a result of man's own deliberate choice to disobey God. Then also we consider the fact that man suffers when he violates God's spiritual laws. That's what we call punitive suffering. That's the kind of suffering that's inflicted by God because of man's disobedience. God is love, but He's also a God of wrath and justice, according to Romans 11:22. God's nature is completely incompatible with sin. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says that God tempts no man to sin. Therefore, God wants man to know He doesn't tolerate sin, and that man will suffer when and if he disregards God's laws. Punitive suffering, though inflicted by God, is really motivated by the love of God. Now, that's maybe an unusual statement, but it's nevertheless true. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 we read, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." So punitive suffering is for the purpose of chastening us, that is, disciplining us. The present chastening is not joyous, but the end result is to bring about our repentance, to turn us, make things uncomfortable for us, in order that we might turn back to God. Now, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from God. The knowledge of good and evil entered into the world, and man immediately began to feel the pains of shame and fear and guilt because he had disobeyed God. Now, these are spiritual consequences of sin's entrance into the world. As cruel as that may seem, the Bible teaches that this corrective discipline is necessary before man will desire to be reunited with God. Knowledge of sin, guilt of sin, and the fear of being eternally lost are painful emotions that drive man back to God. The biblical description of hell and the possibilities of going there are but disciplinary incentives to bring man back to God. Physical pain entered into the world because of sin. Genesis 3:16 tells us that woman's pain was multiplied in childbirth. The ground was cursed that man by the sweat of his face and in sorrow would eat it all the days of his life. Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19. Physical death passed upon all mankind because of sin's entrance into the world. Genesis 3, verses 19 to 24. Therefore, man suffers because he lives in a world into which sin has entered. Man has brought this on himself because of his choice to disobey God. We charge God falsely when we accuse Him of being responsible for the entrance of pain into the world. However, even the physical pain we bear often draws us nearer to God. Pain is a constant reminder of our need for God. We often rise to great spiritual height through pain. The reality of the brevity of life, the certainty of physical death, all of these are incentives to cause us to make our preparation for eternity. And then we also find that man suffers because of the sins of others. You know, war, for example. War is a means by which there's a lot of innocent people, and a lot of them suffer and die. History reveals that most of the wars that have been conducted are motivated by greed and lust for power. Poverty usually is caused by greed and affliction from the rich. There's innocent victims, and they often suffer at the hands of a drunk driver. Women and children are often molested by sexual perverts. The list could go on, and it's sad when we see the innocent suffer, but they suffer at the hand of sinful man, not God. Let us also consider that sometimes men suffer because of their own sins. Many suffer from the use of alcohol. There's been a lot of successful businessmen and fathers have lost their businesses, lost their families, lost their reputation because of alcohol. Habitual users suffer with stomach and liver, kidney ailments, various forms of neuritis. The tobacco user will suffer diseases and or cancer of the lungs and stomach, kidney, throat. Friend, out there any honest person who may be suffering from any one of these self-inflicted ailments say that it is God's fault, that it's the will of God? Then sometimes suffering is brought about by natural catastrophe. Perhaps the most difficult form of suffering to understand is that which comes to us by natural catastrophe, such as storms and floods, earthquakes, epidemic diseases. We ask, if God is so powerful, why doesn't He stop these things? It's not a matter of His not being powerful. It's not a matter of Him not being able to stop them. But what would He accomplish if He did? Have you wondered what would happen to this world if God suspended His natural laws? For example, the law of gravity. If a man fell from a building, what would happen if God suspended that law of gravity? These are laws of physics. These are laws of nature that God put into place in all the universe for our benefit, that we might so live and honor God because of His great majesty and His wisdom in providing all of these things. We are but a part of a great sinful world. Whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not, that's the case. Sin and its consequences have caused the suffering of mankind. And so while we understand that generally all sickness and death are a result of sin, it's not for us to endeavor to establish a connection between special sin and special sickness. We have no infallible way of establishing such a thing. Therefore, we only add anxiety to our suffering by even trying. Above all, we should not charge God with being the cause of our suffering. Though God may allow man to suffer or even inflict suffering for disciplinary purposes, but He still has man's best interest in mind. David said in Psalm 119:71, "It is good for me that I am afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Again in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Friend, our concern should be not so much to understand which of our distresses are of our own working, or which might be permitted of God to test and try us, but to accept all of our trials graciously and utilize them to strengthen our faith in God. Your speaker has been Garland Robinson.